It's never too late to set up values for my family and me. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. It's never too late to set up values for my family and me. How often have we thought to ourselves, oh, if only I had done that when I was younger. If I had thought those thoughts when I was younger, if I had had those positive attitudes of mind when I was younger, if only I had done that, if only I had, if only I had. Thank you. And Rex is learning an interesting thing. He loves attention. And so Rex goes into each of the rooms, and he picks up some little toy, and he brings it to me. He knows he shouldn't do that, but he brings it to me, and he said, look what I found, a little bunny rabbit that's laying there on the edge of the bed, see? A little toy, stuffed rabbit, and I want you to see it, and I want you to know how nice it is, and I want you to enjoy it with me. So, thank you, Rex, I will. So, I have this little bunny rabbit sitting in front of me, and yes, I have, thank you. And Rex wants to make sure that I always have these things. Now, it's never too late to learn to set up values for yourself. Rex is setting up values of going around, picking up things here and there. Yesterday he went in the bedroom, he brought out a blanket, then he went into the other room again, brought out a shoe, and he brought out everything.
Teddy bear.
Oh, yeah,
no blankets.
A great, great big teddy bear, almost as big as he was. And he knows that he shouldn't do that, but he didn't want to hurt it at all. He just carried it out, said, see, I can look at these things too. And we teach him that that's not the thing to do. We teach him that his purpose and his value for us is to be something that behaves and something that minds and something that's good. Well, now, what about you? What are your values? We were on a tour, a cruise, and at the cruise we sat at the table with a number of other people, many of them retired. One group was not retired, and one group was retired. And the one group that was retired, the woman said she found her husband on the internet. Her husband had died, and his wife had died, and they were both on the internet. Now here they were both in their 70s or 80s, and looking around on the internet for a mate. Now, I mean, that's really cool. It's never too late to set up values for your family and you. Now, what did they expect? Well, as she told me, she said, I went on the internet, and I looked for a husband. I looked for a man who had the same values that I do, who had the same desires that I do, who was not tied to his family. He had a family, and he appreciated them, but he went traveling by himself. He was able to do things that on his own, and he didn't have to stay at home just because his family was there, and they thought he was an old man. He should stay at home and act like an old man. Well, he acted like an old man, but only because he had been told to act like an old man for so long. Well, this woman got a hold of him, and the two of them said to each other, you are my ideal mate. You are wonderful. You like to do things. You want to go traveling. You want to see the world. You want to go when you want to go and stay when you want to stay. You want to do whatever you want to do. And you have separate desires, and I have separate desires, and so we're both doing it. That's what every marriage should start out with, the ideal way to start a marriage out. But this couple was very nice. Now, he was hard of hearing and a few other little things. He looked like he was ready to roll over, but he didn't. And he sat at the banquet table, because that's where we had met, and she was sitting next to him, and everyone around the table was chatting away and saying all sorts of interesting things, and she was constantly not whispering in his ear, but speaking loudly and clearly so he could understand every bit of conversation that was going on at the table, even when it was absolutely stupid. And I was thinking to myself, I'd love to have her as an interpreter, because then she would tell me everything that was going on at the table, regardless of how stupid or how insignificant she felt it was. But she wanted him to participate in it and make his own decisions and judgments of what was going on and what was being said and how much fun it was. And he had a smile on his face, and they ordered wine, and they ordered everything. In fact, they had several bottles of wine, and they were just enjoying themselves to the nth degree. Now, it's never too late to set up your values in life. Now, she probably had a husband before who was a very fine man, and he didn't need all that extra care. And he probably had a wife who was just fine and who didn't always necessarily think of him as a young man, but thought of him as an old man. And so he was an old man. Now, this young woman in her 80s got a hold of this young guy in his 80s, and they got married, and now they're both teenagers. They said, we like to think of ourselves as young people. We like to think of ourselves as able to do anything we want to do and going for it. You see, they're setting up new values for what people ordinarily think older people should do. And they're just having the time of their life and doing things that delight them. And what amuses me, I had a couple of dear friends who were also in their 80s, and Kel Ellsworth Frank was his name, but Bill is what everybody called him. Bill Ellsworth. Well, Carol kept saying, now, Bill, don't eat the chocolate cake. It's not good for your health. Bill, don't do this. It's not good for you. Bill, don't do that. It's not good for you. And then she dies. She dies. You know, she's the one who didn't hang in there because she just died. Well, nice lady. I mean, she really cared about him. But the thing is, she cared in the wrong way. If he wants to eat these things and he doesn't really care that they're bad for him, good, let him go. Let him eat it. Then he was on his deathbed. He was in a rest home after he had been taken away from his personal home and put in this hospital thing because he only had a short time to go, they felt. And I went to visit him a couple times, and I said, Bill, you love chocolate cake. Oh, yes. And so I said to the lady in the rest home, and so it was a medical rest home, I said, he loves chocolate cake. Is it okay if I bring him some chocolate cake? Anything he wants. Anything he wants. His life is not that long. Let him enjoy everything he wants. And I thought, that's a value we should have in the beginning of life, that we enjoy everything. And so now here's Bill. What was he, almost 90? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was croaking, and I went to visit him. But before I went to visit him, across the street was a great big brand new Albertson store. Great big brand new Albertson store. And I went over there, and I walked through the store, and I went in the pastry department, in the cake department. And they had a great big series of chocolate cakes with chocolate frosting and chocolate inside and chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. Oh, it looked so good, I wanted it myself. Well, they had big pieces cut. You know, not the whole cake, but like big, big slices. And I said to the girl behind the counter, I want to take this to a friend in the restaurant here, and he may not have a fork. Do you have a fork that I can take along? Said, oh, sure. Here's some napkins and a fork, and you'll cover everything, you know, and a plate for it and everything. And so she gave it to me. I took it up to him. And he looked at it, and he says, wow, you know, and immediately started to dig in. He didn't wait for anything. He just said, hey, that is great. Now, they may have given him indigestion. It may have pushed up his moment of passing, but he ate it, and he says, Herb, this is the greatest. You really care for me, don't you? You know. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, Bill, I don't care for you. I care for myself. I like me, and this is how I treat myself. This is how I live my life. This is how I act. I love you because I love me. I created you because I created me. And he didn't say the crucial point, which he should have said. Well, create me whole and perfect then, Herb. Well, and what would I have said to him?
You are.
I would have said to him, you are whole and perfect. And now, the fact that you don't choose to do that for yourself, that's your business. But the thing is, in my mind, in my heart, in my life, you're whole and perfect. You're fantastic. Every place I went with him, I did that to him. We went to the Indian reservation to their big feed for his birthday the year before. And at the birthday party, everybody had things, and then they brought out cakes, and they brought out this and that, and everyone was trying to keep it away from Bill because it wasn't good for him, as his wife had said to him so long. And so I went to sit next to him with a big piece on my plate, and I said, Bill, I got this for me, but I can get another one. Would you like it? Yes. And he ate it and enjoyed it. It's not too late to change our attitudes about ourselves, to change our attitudes, how we live and what we think of life. And you know, I always thought of Bill as whole and perfect. I always thought of Bill as a competent, capable man who could do most anything. I always thought of him as the head of the household, even though his wife was the boss, you know. His wife put on the big show, and she put on the big deal. And she was a nice lady, but, you know, that's her game. But she never made him feel bad. She always included him with her. And I don't know, did we ordain him? Because I know we did some of his other people from his church, but they were so reluctant in getting their people, you know, trained and ordained and so forth. And so I came along and I said, hey, let's go for it. And I said, Bill, will you sign the papers if I ordain them? Sure. So I did, and he did. And I know he felt happy by doing it, but it wasn't his outgoing attitude to do it. It wasn't his flamboyance to do it where it was mine. And so I did a lot. And every time I go over there, she'd ask me to get up and give the talk, even though I just walked in the door, you know. And afterwards, Bill would say to me, how could you do that? How could you give a talk without having any preparation? I said, Bill, I've been preparing all of my life. If anybody wants to talk to me about any subject at any time, I'll talk about it. Because I have attitudes, and I have opinions, and I have thoughts, and I have information.
And values.
And I have values, yes. And that perhaps is the most wonderful thing of it all. Well, Carol and Bill are lovely memories in our life and lovely experiences in our life as two people who went off to do their thing. And you too, and I can go off and do my thing and enjoy myself and have fun and be it. People oftentimes say to me, well, Herb, why don't you have some other people, you know, go off and give lectures and do things? I said, I'd like to do that. But first they have to demonstrate it at school. First they have to demonstrate at school that they're able to do this. And when you go to school, you take a course in elocution, you take a course in lecturing, you take a course in Bible, you take a course in in philosophy, you take a course in psychology, you take a course in all these things. And then along the way, you demonstrate it. And you demonstrate it because every time anyone asks you to speak, instantly you say, sure, what topic you have in mind, you know? And, well, this here, okay, fine. These are my ideas on that topic. And that's just great. And no matter what, and then you should be charming. You should be interesting. You should have illustrations. You should have all sorts of things. Well, how can you have illustrations on something you don't know anything about? Well, if someone asks you to talk about peanuts and you don't know anything about them, say, and you do know about peas, and you know how peas grow, you say, well, you know, in my experience, peanuts and peas have a lot in common. And they both grow in a shell. The pea shell you can eat, the peanut shell you can't eat. But peanuts are just delicious. But peas grow from these sort of little peas that are planted in the ground, and then they grow up quite tall into a nice little bushy plant. And they have peas in little pods all over the plant. And you pick the pods of peas off of the pea plant, and then you prepare it into peas. Now, I like peas as pea soup. In fact, we very seldom have pea soup, and I love Kentucky Fried pea soup. I like, what's that pea soup? California here?
Yeah, Anderson.
Anderson pea soup. Oh, that's delicious. They have really made that to a very science. And whenever I get a hold of a can of Anderson pea soup, it just wolf it down. Really enjoy it. Now, pea soup is good for your health, too. Pea soup is very healthy. It's very supportive of every nutrient that your body needs. It's almost like a full meal in the pea soup. That's why pea soup has become so popular with people who like pea soup. Well, now, there you go. I talked about peanuts, you know? And I talked about what I knew. No, I didn't. I do know about peanuts, but pretend like I didn't know about peanuts. You just segue, move from where you are into what you do know, and be charming and delightful. Mm-hmm. And when the people get done, the people are going to say, well, they gave a good talk on peanuts. Because that was what the title was. And they won't realize that they learned all about peas in the process. But this is the fun thing about speaking, about lecturing, about giving a talk, and staying on principle, and always being able to say yes no matter what people say to you. Always say, yes, I'd be happy to give a lecture on peanuts. I'll tell you everything I know about peanuts. And then I'll go on into whatever else I do know, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the fun of it. That's just the fun of it. And I think this is what we have to sometimes really do. It's never too late to set up a new set of values for myself and new directions for myself. If mother said, children should be seen and not heard, well, are you a child? No, you've long ago left it, but you haven't left the statement that children should be seen and not heard. You think of yourself as a child. You really do. You think of yourself as whatever you think of yourself as, whatever you're thinking at that moment. If you're thinking of yourself as a teenager, when your first date, well, there you are then. If you think of yourself as a little child in your play box, there you are. If you think of yourself in any area at all, there you are. And so, you see, if we had what you might say limiting attitudes about ourselves at that time, then it's never too late to change that limiting attitude. Kids say the darndest things, you know. Art Linkletter had a program on that. And what was he saying? He was saying that kids say the darndest things. And what do they say? And then he had a book that told all about how all the things they said. And to this day, the book is still a bestseller charmer because it is so delightful what the kids said. Now, are the kids brilliant? You bet. Are some of the kids thoughtful? Oh, yes. Are some of the kids thoughtless? Well, not really. They just pretend to be thoughtless because then they don't have to be thoughtful. You know, that's what husbands oftentimes do. They pretend they aren't interested in something because they don't want to particularly go at that moment. But what did the guy say when the woman asked him to dance? He said, no, I don't dance, I don't dance, I don't dance. And then later, the woman saw him dancing so beautifully on the floor. She says, I thought you said you couldn't dance. He says, I didn't say I couldn't dance. He says, I don't dance. And so it's all a matter of how we take these things, what frame. It's never too late. And it's never too late to just have a lot of fun and be yourself. Well, think about this. And remember, peanuts and peas, you can do it. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.